Okay. Nicole Kidman and Keith Urban welcome a baby girl named Sunday Rose. So she did not have that with Tom Cruise, but still, it's interesting. She was with Tom Cruise, another Rose baby. So, anyways.
Keith Urban.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. I see a picture of him here, but I don't know who the fuck Keith Urban is. It's her husband, I guess. I don't know. I don't know if all actresses have to be with actors, though.
I think he's, isn't he like an Australian country musician or something, or
Yeah, he's a New Zealand Australian country music singer.
does that even make sense? Say that sentence again.
New Zealand Australian country music singer, songwriter, and guitarist whose commercial success has been mainly in the United States and Australia. I don't know. He looks like he's whatever. He's getting it on with fucking.
He's doing all right for himself.
All right, look, he's got. He looks like he like. It's funny. I don't know if you guys are looking up pictures of him right now, but he's funny. He just looks like that guy who's just like the fucking rock star guy who's just like, yeah. But I don't know. It's funny.
Yeah, I'm sleeping with Nicole Kidman. He's
Yeah.
like,
What are you gonna
this shit
say?
is easy. You don't gotta work too hard. This is simple.
Money for nothing, chicks for free.
That's his
You're
big.
damn right.
His big release was Golden Road, something called Golden Road, which is just interesting. That came up yesterday on.
Oh, The Shining, The Road to the Sun.
Yeah, Road to the Sun, and then also the Yellow Brick Road, and then Dune has the Gold Road or whatever. That's an integral part of the story that has to do with destiny or whatever. I need to look at it again, but anyways, huh? Oh, so I don't know. It's just as soon as I think Nicole Kidman and Tom Cruise, I'm just like they got together during Eyes Wide Shut, right? I mean, they were taken for that role not because they were together. They got together during that film, as I recall.
No, I
And
think basically they got, I think they were divorced shortly after.
oh, they were together before
Yeah.
Shut. Oh, wow, interesting. Okay.
They had kids by the time that they were in Eyes Wide Shut.
Really? What are their kids' names? I need to look that up then. I don't know. I feel like this is weird. I never knew why I would want to look at celebrity magazines when I was older, but shit, some of that would be helpful in some of this. I'm like, oh, I wish I looked at the Inquirer that day. I would have gotten some information.
It's so funny. That was like Jason Barrera put something one day, and he was like, I don't know if this was an email or he put on Facebook, but it was just basically like something about like Lindsay Lohan. He's like, I know, I'm looking at like magazines that are meant for, teenage girls, but it's important, damn it.
This is for research purposes, all right?
I think
I'm
that
reading the articles.
I think that Tom and Nicole's kids were adopted. They never had biological children.
Oh, yeah. So I saw Sarah come up when I was looking at this stuff, so I don't know. Yeah. Fucking crazy. So I saw the other day we were at Long's drugstore, and I see a magazine, like a People magazine or something, and it's like talking about Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes' breakup, and it's just like, devastating for Tom Cruise. He turns to Scientology. It was just like the way that they were interpreting his whole deal, and like this, I don't know, it kind of tripped me out. I'm like, he turns to Scientology for support. It's like, oh God, I don't know. I don't get it. What did you pick up some L. Ron Hubbard books and just like start reading or something?
Only a Scientologist can really, grasp the things that Tom is going through. It's a certain Scientology kind of pain, probably. But I don't think Nicole bought into the Scientology, did she?
I have no idea, which it does probably the reason why they broke up. She's like, you're, that's fucking lunatic. She's all, you're.
I mean, honestly, I don't think that. So, you know a good amount about what Scientology is, correct, David?
Not a great amount. I mean, I've looked at some stuff. actually, there was just a book of L. Ron Hubbard's axioms that I found more helpful than diuretics. But I don't know.
I mean, you get the point of what he was doing there.
He was taking, he's basically, from his place for himself, I can see how it was helpful because he was communicating and articulating things in a very creative and expansive way, and he wasn't having to be told what's what. He was showing that you can create your own take on things, but then people took his take and did something else with it. So that gets kind of weird because it seems like L. Ron Hubbard was kind of encouraging people to kind of take a similar approach than he did, but instead they just take his writings and look at them like Bibles, which is really weird. But
what's fascinating about it is that it is the American religion, right? It was born here.
Well, you could say the same thing about Anton LaVey, right?
Okay, but I mean, come on. Does anyone really take that fucking seriously at all?
Well, that's the thing, dude. I don't know. It seems like there are people who do take Anton LaVey's stuff seriously, and there are just, I would say, just as much as there are people who take fucking L. Ron Hubbard shit. The thing is that it's not as easy to tell people in public light because of the kind of scrutiny you'll get if you're following the teachings of fucking Anton LaVey. He's full of shit. You read him, and you're just like, what? I mean, even, like, you look at Crowley, and though he's pretty out there, you can still kind of see, well, he's a pretty intelligent guy. Anton LaVey is, like, reminds me of Mary Baker Eddy, to tell you the truth.
Yeah. But, you know, L. Ron was out there in California with Parsons, and Parsons was out there hanging with Robert Heinlein and all those sci-fi guys. And he had that big mansion out there, and they were all doing mescaline and drinking and basically doing the hippie thing before it became the hippie thing. And they were really, all of them, very, very intelligent people, right? Mm-hmm. It wasn't just dummies getting stoned and having orgies. I mean, the conversations and the flow of thinking in that community must have been incredible. And I just think that, you know, a certain code was cracked by Hubbard, or at least they chose Hubbard to be the representative. You know, there are certain things about Scientology that I think are very powerful and very strong. And it's understanding of how money affects how honest people are with themselves, you know? The thing about therapy is that it's kind of like education. People don't really take it seriously unless they pay for it themselves, unless they see the hard work economically go into it. And so that's why they always have these monetary things associated with it. And people want to reject that. But my God, every religion that you join asks money of you. You really don't get away with much of it for free if you get into it. So I kind of throw that out the window. But, you know, there's the new movie coming out by Paul Thomas Anderson. I think it's called The Master. Have you heard about this at all?
Yeah. Sure.
And apparently it's going to be one of the first major movies to come out that's going to address L. Ron Hubbard and Scientology.
Oh,
and of
really?
Course, they say, oh, it's not about that at all. But, you know, anyone can see through the lines and see where Paul Thomas Anderson is taking this. It's the first movie for Joaquin Phoenix. So he's rising from the ashes. And this is going to be his first major starring role since I'm Still Here, which is fucking brilliant.
Is Joaquin in this movie, is he playing like a Jack Parsons or L. Ron Hubbard?
I think he's going to be playing an individual who comes into the teachings of the master, which will be Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Correct, yeah.
Who is going to be playing the L. Ron Hubbard type.
Weird.
And, you know, obviously a Paul Thomas Anderson movie is going to get a lot of hype and a lot of buzz. but because of the subject matter, it's starting to get even more. But just basically tying it back to the fact that Scientology is, you know, the new name, like, L. Ron Hubbard was born in America, correct?
If so.
So he's a Native American, but a new Native American, because he's born in the country. And so this is a Native American religion.
I was just joking about the Indian and the Hubbard.
Yeah.
And then calling him a Native American. Okay, go on, sorry.
Right. So it's a Native American religion, a wildly successful American religion that had the whole corporate structure built into it from the get-go, which is why once it caught fire, all the money, they knew exactly what to do with the money. Nothing was wasted. And then they franchised it out, and you've got, you know, I think it's big in Germany. Go figure.
Show me the... Fuck Tom Cruise. Anyways, go ahead.
You know, it's... I think it can teach us more about the world if you let it, rather than just reject it. I mean, it's brilliant in how simple it really is. I don't know. I'll be interested to see what the take is on. And I guess this is the last point I wanted to bring up, is that Hollywood, they said, was run by the Jews, right? You said Israel Regardi was one of the founders of Hollywood.
Yeah, according to my rabbi, he was saying that, yeah.
And they always talk about all the Jewish producers and all the Jewish money men in Hollywood, but they always made movies about Jesus, right?
Oh, you've never heard that conspiracy theory?
Yeah, that's the whole thing of King of Kings in the first place, the silent film that it all started there of twisting that story up for their whole, the way that they wanted to play it, yeah. Anyways.
Yeah, I met some really anti-Semitic conspiracy theorist once, and he's like, watch any movie, and when you see a cross or Jesus or anything, it's going to be followed by or come directly within 30 seconds of like violence or rape or something terrible. He's like, and the idea is to make you associate Christianity with like repulsion. It was basically like he's saying it's like a Clockwork Orange. Like you see like a cross and like rape, or a cross and like violence, or a cross and something, so that it'd make you go, ugh, and you associate it with something disgusting to make you turn away. And I'm like,
isn't it interesting though that Christianity has been responsible for more bloodshed than anything,
right, well,
on the planet,
well,
in the, like, long before fucking Hollywood, I'll tell you what.
Right, it's like, hey, read the Bible, and like every three pages someone's getting raped or killed or something. It's like,
or a
I don't
whole
think you need
the city is getting destroyed by
right.
the
I don't
loving
think you really
father.
Need you know, Jewish Hollywood to ruin that image for you. I think it's already pretty bloody. Hate to break it to you, buddy, but have you ever read that book you're holding?
But now they say that, you know, Hollywood is, well, Christians haven't infiltrated Hollywood, but Scientology certainly has. And it seems that a lot of actors and actresses, and I mean, fuck, Beck is a Scientologist. What the hell is that about? Beck, the musician, right?
Oh, okay.
And that's just weird. And Tom Cruise and Travolta, and that at least Scientology has established itself within the Hollywood community, and they've established themselves in such a way that they've been able to derail any films about Scientology directly.
Well, you guys know the whole thing with Chef, right?
That's what I was just going to say,
South
yeah.
South Park? Mm-hmm. So that's some of the weirdest shit. Fucking he dies, right? So they make the episode and then he dies, and so they took all the snippets from his voice because he played along with all of the shit. He'll fucking rip on anybody and join in the fun, and then as soon as they aim it at Scientology, he's like, okay guys, I can't get down with this. and they're like, what the fuck, dude? Like, you went with everything, you know, and now you won't be down with this. So they were basically like, whatever. And so he left over that Shaft, Isaac Hayes, right? And so they do this episode after he's left with just snippets from different episodes that he's been in. And he's being mind controlled in the episode by a group of these people who are like the something adventure club or whatever. And then they just go and they rape little boys. They're like the super adventure club. And he's all not the real chef. He's all mind controlled, which is a joke on, they're saying Scientology. He's been mind controlled. And then fucking he dies. Like in real life, he dies in kind of a weird way. Right. I need to look it up again. But
apparently,
it's like,
now, he left South Park in 2006, and he died in 2008.
Right, but didn't they come out with that episode, like, right before he died?
He died August 10th, 2008, and... hold on, I was just looking at it, too. Scientology episode airs November 2005. He leaves... When you're talking about the return of Chef being brainwashed is is actually, that's interesting. It's March 22nd, 3/22, 2006,
so
though.
Fucking skull and bones. So it's after he died they came out with that?
No. I'm saying the episode aired 2006 and he dies 2008.
Oh, right.
So it's not really...
It's not like the same week or anything, but it's just... That's fucking weird, though. The whole thing is just weird. That's all I'm saying. I don't know.
You're a detective now. There are no coincidences, right?
It's fucking Batman Detective Comics, man. That's like the best Batman comics there were the Batman Detective Comics.
I wasn't trying to shit on your connection. I'm just saying
Oh, no, I don't give a fuck. I'm brainstorming. But... But I don't know. I do think that there was that they did that the way that they did was like really like, I mean, no one else has done that in that way. And then they have the one with the come out of the closet, Tom Cruise and fucking John Travolta, where they're going. They have John Travolta and Tom Cruise and they won't get out of the closet. They're like, come out of the closet. And they keep joking about the fucking they rip on the fucking Scientology thing. Or that was the first one that upset Chef. Is that the deal?
Yeah, I believe so.
Anyways, whatever.
Yeah,
it's kind of absurd. I see what you're saying, is that they've attacked everything in a 360-degree way. No one is immune. And then the only places where they get heat are, well, I think they got in trouble with some of the Muslim shit, where I think they did.
They got in trouble with all kinds of shit. I'm just saying, as far as...
But the Muslims and the Scientologists, why are those two grouped into the thou shalt not throw stones?
Well, I'm saying they had one person who's been working with them the entire time, who is Isaac Hayes. And he didn't have a problem with anything else until they ripped on Scientology. And
oh,
so
he personally did.
He had
he's a Scientologist.
Oh, well, that would make sense.
And he freaked out about it. And he was like, fuck you guys, you know? And they were like, what, dude? You went along with everything, and now you're not okay with this? Well, then fuck off then. Sorry. You know? That was like, they were just... They, you know, they're like, really? Really? You can't hang? It's like these people have pressure points, you know? And it was interesting as, like, from his perspective as a Scientologist, he's like, he will rip on everybody, but he can't make humor of his own thing because his own thing happens to be the one exception. It's like everything and your mom they ripped on, like, across the board, just not Scientology up until that point. Funny.
Did you see this link here to this movie called The Prophet?
Oh. Oh, you're... Okay, hold on.
It's a film that premiered at the Cannes Film Festival. Pretty blatant deconstruction of Scientology and the farce that it is. But the film was basically not released because of a court order. And they blocked the distribution of the film in the United States.
Really?
Yeah. Guy's name is L. Conrad Powers, the Church of Scientific Spiritualism, and it basically tells the whole story, but definitely makes a parody of it and how it's, you know, just a, it's a con job.
Oh, wow. I'd like to really see this. I probably can't find it, though, huh? There's no distribution in the United States. It says United States. It came out in the United States. I mean, it was done in the United States. At least
it says, as a result of a 2002 court order from the Lisa McPherson case, a Pinellas County judge blocked further distribution of the film in the United States.
Even though it was produced here. Weird. So,
According to the film's attorney, the injunction was lifted in 2007, but distribution was blocked due to a conflict with one of the producers, Bob Minton.
But what I think is fascinating is that that movie's been around for 11 years, and I just heard about it last week because of the connection to the movie that's coming out, which Paul Thomas Anderson pushed up the release date of the movie by like a couple of months, and he's going to release it in September. So I don't know if heat's coming down. Maybe he's trying to get it out in the theaters before a court case can be formulated or something.
Say why it's banned? Don't they have to give like a good reason before they ban a film?
They should.
I mean, you're supposed to be able to pretty much do, yeah, that's pretty crazy. So the first movie I can think of, the earliest that really like went to town on Scientology to a degree, was Repo Man.
Okay.
The guys all tell me, he's like, you gotta read this book, it'll change your life. And then he fucking throws out the bag of money out of the briefcase, like thinking that it's just a brown baggie. You know what I'm talking about? That he's all like, he's a Scientologist, and he's showing Emilio Estevez the ropes, and he's just like, read this, it'll change your life. And then in the next scene, Emilio Estevez is throwing it into the fire, the diuretics, which I've made a tradition out of, is taking my Dianetics books. I'll get a Dianetics book, and then I'll toss it in a campfire, like when I'm hanging out with people. I'll be like, up here, just because that's the scene that they lay out the whole synchronicity thing.
Yeah, the plate of shrimp.
Yeah, it's a lattice of coincidence. It lays on top of things, which is actually, for me, like, one of the, like, best, it's just perfect. It's so perfect on every level, because he's like, everybody gets so hung up on specifics, they miss out on seeing the whole thing. Take South America, for example. It's the whole thing of, like, everyone gets so hung up on specifics, and then he right afterwards goes and takes a specific example and then goes extrapolates this like huge thing out of this thing. He's like, you can't explain why the people disappear. Oh, well, the people disappear because of flying saucers, which are really time machines. And it's this whole deal is just too perfect. And then the thing with Repo Man is that he says the plate of shrimp thing, and then later on when they're driving along, if you look very closely into one of the windows, it says plate of shrimp.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, it's perfect, dude, because it's right there and it's subliminal. But it's the whole point of you won't see the synchronicity unless you got your face to the fucking screen. You know what I mean? Like, that's the whole point, is there's a lot of coincidence, but it's if it is the wiring under the board, you're not going to catch it unless if you're basically looking under the board, you know, or at least looking close enough to recognize. So, anyways.
I think this is interesting. In this, the plot synopsis of The Prophet, it says, Carson invites Powers, this is the L. Ron Hubbard, to perform the, quote, Caliban working. Caliban is from The Tempest, William Shakespeare's The Tempest, and that's who this Olympic opening ceremony is quoting Caliban at length.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. The Olympic ceremony also quoted the William Blake poem, Jerusalem, right, at length, about the New Jerusalem. Yeah. So that is also a play on the Babylon working, which is our Oppenheimer, Crowley, Parsons deal. Yeah. Huh. Okay. I want to see this fucking movie.
It's not on Netflix.
237. I keep waiting for that shit to fucking come out on some kind of... You don't know anything about when that's actually supposed to be available, do you, Bill?
What's that?
The movie? Room 237?
Oh, no. And I've been waiting to talk to John Fell Ryan about it because he finally got to see it.
Oh, he went to a screen.
I don't. I he was. I think he saw it He might have got a screener copy or something, but he finally got to see it, and I just wanted to see his opinion of it, how he thought of it. But I don't. It might, is it on demand? Maybe like on IFC or
checking. I don't see it there. But anyways, yeah.
I'm sure they have a website.
Yeah, every look. I don't. Wasn't quite yet, but
room237movie.com.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
You can't find The Prophet on Amazon, so maybe you can. I don't know where it is.
Yeah, that's how these things go. You can maybe torrent, you know. That's a sad, but okay, whatever. The Shining. You mean The Shining? Shh, do you want to get sued?
Why does room237movie.com have the number 42 at the top of their website?
Yeah, great.
Well, like, because what is that?
42 for days in The Shining.
Wait, what is it?
There's 42 for days in The Shining. Actually, I can show you, I think it was two blogs ago, or maybe three. I just lay out all the 42 shit in The Shining. It goes on for days.
I thought you were saying it takes place over 42 days. No, okay.
He's sitting there watching Summer of 42, obviously. He's got 42 on his sleeve. But then there's all this 42 stuff in terms of repetition of nuances and things where he just plays on 42, 42, 42 over and over again. So, yeah. Hold on.
And didn't you have to say that 2 times 3 times 7 is 42?
Yeah. Certainly is. So many 42s everywhere, man.
It seems we have a new caller on the line.
Yes, hello, sure. How are you? I love this show. It's the best show I've ever heard.
Oh, if you don't. I went and checked on Skype. I thought you were telling me we had a new caller.
You don't hear Sirhan over here?
No one wants to buy my hairpiece. I want hairpiece. Nobody wants it. Take my hairpiece. I don't know why no one wants my hairpiece.
Herpes jokes are always funny.
What's that from?
That's
the hairpiece.
Well, I was joking about that. I can't remember if I made it up or if it came from a. There was some night where I.
Yeah, the infections start to blend together after a while.
Well, it's true. I think I know there was substance involved, and I was throwing a laughing fit over that. And then right afterwards, I come across Jake Coates's video on hairpiece with where he shows all the hairpiece stuff. You guys have seen that one?
Yeah, I imagine. It's really good.
And wasn't there and all this stuff, and so it kind of tripped me out. I had just like lost my shit about hairpiece, and then I like the next day or whatever I'm like looking and I'm like, whoa, he did a video on hairpiece, there you go. So no one wants my hair, give my camel hair.
Hey, can I take it back to the burning money thing for a second? I remember when I was a sophomore in college, I had a roommate from England, and I had the KLF Chill Out album. And he couldn't believe that I had that album. And he was starting to tell me about the guys in the KLF, and he told me that they got arrested for burning £1 million of currency. Have you ever heard this story?
No.
Okay, so you know the KLF, they did the White Room, Justified and Ancient. They did some like ravey club type stuff. They did this really great ambient album. And I just thought they were, you know, just like the Happy Mondays, just, you know, drug taken Brits and part of life is fun and party time. But they're some pretty serious arty kind of guys, kind of like Banksy. They had a whole mission about what the KLF was. So he told me the story that they hyped this thing up. They got £1 million of currency, and they had this whole thing, and they put gasoline on it, and they just straight up burned it as a statement, and which I just thought was either made up or it was just a rumor, but it turns out that it was true. And it's just funny how internet savvy everything is nowadays. I didn't really have any way to just go online and check whether or not that was true or not. But it sounds as if they made a movie about it called Why Did the K Foundation Burn $1 million? And I guess they wrote a book about it too. And I didn't get it until just now that what they were probably trying to prove was just by simply burning £1 million of currency, but if you put a movie around it and a book around it, you can make more money with these sort of artistic slash magical practices. All you have to do is burn £1 million and people will buy the movie or watch the movie and then buy the book and you'll actually make money from it.
Right. It's like I burnt £1 million and made $2 million back.
Exactly. It's the producer's thing. You could make more money out of a failure.
Well, that's Woodstock. Woodstock was a complete financial disaster. And then because of the documentary, because they filmed it, and because of the music sales of the record that was produced, they ended up making like 10 times what they lost.
But he was in debt for many, many years. He didn't – debt. The big money didn't pour in till much, much later with that thing.
Yeah.
True.
But so these guys, you know, essentially in 1994 when they did this, they – if the bottom line is the god of the corporation, right? The corporation says, we don't care if you're Jewish, Christian, or Muslim. We don't care if you're gay, straight, bi. We don't care if you're young or old. They only care if you are profitable to their bottom line. So if you do the numbers and you find out what is the best way to make the most money, if the way to make the most money is to literally burn money, then you burn the money.
You right? Gotta spend money to make money, right?
You don't even question it, right? So, you know, just follow that down the rabbit hole.
Okay, so speaking of rabbit holes, 42 is 21 doubled and 24 mirrored. The picture of Jack at the end of The Shining is dated July 4th, 1921, and is one of 21 pictures arranged in three horizontal lines on the gold corridor mirror. The sum of adding the numbers in the date, 4th July, 7th month, 1921, adds up to 24. 4 plus 7 plus 1 plus 9 plus 2 plus 1 equals 24. The number 12 is also a mirror image of 21. The Overlook's radio call number is KDK12. And the screen titles in part 3, 8 a.m. and 4 p.m., add up to 12. The sum of adding the numbers 2, 3, 7 together also adds up to 12, 2 plus 3 plus 7. Kubrick sways the film in repeated numerical patterns. Wendy swings the bat at Jack 42 times. Jack says red rum 42 times. Danny looks up and sees the door 237 at exactly 42 minutes into the movie. And Wendy finds Jack's novel at exactly 142, her fingers stopping at line 21 in the typewriter. Danny and Wendy watch Summer of 42 at exactly 121 minutes, and the scene used by Kubrick is exactly 24 minutes into the movie. Likewise, red rum is written on the door two separate times, combining a total of 24 lipstick strokes. The time code in the last scene, 221, corresponds to 21 pictures on the wall, the middle of which says 1921, a date which itself adds up to 24. Wendy also reveals 21, or is it 12, pages of Jack's book, and the staircase she lures him up is comprised of 42 steps. Jack breaks down in the apartment door with his axe only once, and it takes him exactly 42 seconds from first frame to last frame to do it. when we see him in the first hit the axe to the door, when he pulls the axe out before opening the door, we also hear Jack in the bathroom door hit the bathroom door 12 times with his axe. Similarly, Danny says run, run 42 times in Tony's voice. And when he, Wendy tugs the pantry latch 24 times. The use of 42, 24, 21, and 12 in the movie are already filled with doublings and mirrors seems odd and uncanny, and it is exactly the intention of Kubrick hoped to create. So, and the point at which he says, here's Johnny, is 1 hour and 24 minutes and 21 seconds into the film. And then here I have this whole thing with Lewis Carroll playing with 42 for days using some crazy arithmetic.
And what I just discovered is 2001, the original cut was 2 hours and 41 minutes. So you get your 2-4-1. And to shorten it, he took exactly 19 minutes away to make it 142 minutes.
Yeah. So I don't have a dog. If somebody has a dog, fucking play 2001 A Space Odyssey in front of it. Because supposedly there is a high-pitched noise that runs throughout much of the film that only dogs can hear. And supposedly people have reported dogs staring at 2001 when it's playing for that reason. Like, it gets their attention like no other movie, which is funny in the idea of the serious contact. I don't know. I think that that's kind of weird.
Well, there's also, I've seen stoners stare at 2001 A Space Odyssey too, but there's also a dog whistle at the end of Sergeant Pepper's.
Is there?
Yeah, never, you know, could be any other way, right?
Yeah, right, exactly. When it was designed so that it gets, the needle goes in that loop there, and there's actually a dog whistle on that loop.
Really? So Hey Bulldog, right, is on that?
No. Bulldog is not on that.
Oh, it's not on Sergeant Pepper? I could. Oh, no, you're right. It's on Yellow Submarine. Yeah. Or at least on the re-release of Yellow Submarine, whatever. So.
But I don't know if that does anything for you. Is perhaps there you want to try syncing up Sergeant Pepper with if you can find the dog whistle in 2001, maybe you match those two up.
I had a whole thing once where I was visualizing the bone from 2001 where he throws the bone and it turns into a satellite as like a dog bone, like and I was joking with we're gonna need a okay. This might sound far-fetched, but Chevy Chase, like, because Chevy Chase is in Fletch, right? So, like, go Fletch. And I was thinking of the Discovery One. There's a Land Rover called the Discovery. So it's like, we're going to need a Land Rover Discovery. I don't know.
we have the Mars Rover about to land. That was the joke I was making. The Rover is, of course, the dog. Hey.
The Gale crater, yeah. We're associating Dorothy Gale. I don't know. That's pretty weird. But the other thing was that I just saw is that the Viking landed on Mars on the same day that you were mentioning, not the same year, but the same day you were mentioning in your post of the Apollo landing. And also, what was the other thing that you had there?
Are you talking July 20th?
Yeah, so July 20th is also the day that the Viking landed on Mars.
Mm, okay, yeah. So, and of course, it's the red planet. Yeah.
Right. And then also the fact that the Vikings were the ones who ate the Amanita muscaria before they would go into battle, which is the mushroom that the caterpillar sits on in Alice in Wonderland. If that makes sense.
Right, the Vikings would go into their berserker rage, much like Wolverine.
The red mushroom. Yeah.
Yeah, so...
Red Shrooman, right? Red Shrooman.
The Shrooman Show.
That's a good one.
Which, of course, opens with the light Sirius falling on Jim Carrey, the Riddler.
So when I saw that video, I forget who did that, where they had Caroline with the three dogs, and then they were
showing... That's Richard Arrowsmith. He makes great videos. Yeah, great videos.
That point, like, what, like when the fucking thing fell, and also that was also shown in who was it? The Live from the Logosphere guy.
Kevin Alcott, yeah.
He showed that in his series of the Down the Rabbit Hole business. That was one of the points where I was like, oh, he just got me. Like, I was persuaded. Like, I could, like, okay, I'm like, okay, I'm following this, maybe. And then when the fucking thing falls and it's Jim McCary and it says Sirius, I was like, oh, that's too much. There it is. Okay, that's, wow. So, very strange. What did she say? What doesn't just fall from the sky? She's like, doesn't just fall from the sky when she's talking to Carol Ann. Fall from the sky, was that it? And he had this whole... Aerosmith had that whole giraffe connection with Toys R Us, and how if you change Toys R Us, you get Sirius.
yeah, it's Toy Sirius, right?
That's weird. All right.
Yeah, I think those are... I actually, that video with the giraffe and Sirius is what I used to use to just... If I was trying to get someone to understand synchromysticism, I would show them that video. I thought it was so solid. And of course, he in that, he also talks about Christian Bale and The Dark Knight.
Right. And so that right there, what is completely getting to me is the You Ever Dance with the Devil in the Pale Moonlight in front of the Monarch Theater, which Jason recently pointed out that kind of blew my mind a little bit because you have the
shark. Oh my God. The Monarch Theater. Sorry. Lauren Coleman says that July 20th is the day that the government released their files on MKUltra.
Right. So there's only one person, I believe it's a woman, who talks about the Monarch program, and it's just her testimony that talks about the whole sex cult thing with MK Ultra, and she called that the Monarch program. But still, at this point, it's become so associated. I mean, there have not been any released MK Ultra files that actually say anything about Monarch, but at the same time, it is within the realm of possibility. But that is really kind of crazy.
Right, and it doesn't have to be MKUltra. It could be that basically the Monarch is the kings. So so Batman's parents are the Monarchs, right? If he's the knight, his parents are the king and queen.
Right. Her explanation for why it was called Monarch, I mean, I'm sure it's probably a double meaning, but she was saying it's specifically the butterfly, and that the way that a butterfly flaps or flickers its wings was what they saw happening with their test subjects, the way that they would roll back into themselves, that they related it to the butterfly doing its butterfly things, that it was like that's what their brain was basically doing, which I thought was really strange.
Yeah, because you liquefy the brain inside the skull, that's its pupa or whatever, right? And then the unfolding is the butterfly reality or the Valis system that they want you to see.
Just watch that movie Butterfly Effect. They show the butterfly as the brain, the CAT scan of the brain, and they keep overlapping the butterfly on the brain. And basically the guy is convinced that he's writing his story, which is just like Jim Carrey in the number 23, which, of course, number 23 we take to... Serious and all that sort of stuff.
Which, another part of the fucking video was his association with 23 with Sirius, and then it's all like boom, boom, boom with Christian Bale.
I'm going to make a suggestion here. What if we take a break and watch that video, and then we can kind of discuss it a little more intelligently? I haven't seen it in a bit. Bill, I don't know if you've ever seen it.
It's only... Yeah, I'll check it out. It sounds good.
But I want to just quickly say, so I mean, essentially, if the, just as a dissenting voice here to the MKUltra thing, like I said, if Batman's parents are the Monarchs, the king and queen, Batman, of course, is the knight, and the Joker is the court jester. It could be a reference to that and not MKUltra, I think, is probably a little more likely.
Hearing the pearls that drop from... Isn't that the thing? I'm just visual right now when he's... just pops on, spill everywhere. It's just an interesting image, too. I don't know. A pearl was coming up recently, and I can't remember why, but the black as well. Anyways, whatever. So, let me see.
Hey, David.
Give you the link real quick.
I got it here. It's blackdogstar.blogspot.com. It's May 2011, called Dark Night of the Soul.
Dark Night of the Soul.
Oh. Yep.
David, last week I was telling Alan and Will about an episode of Oprah that I saw with Jim Carrey on it right before The Truman Show was released, and about how, because I had read Cosmic Trigger and I had, you know, the whole 23 thing was all in my brain. I'm watching clips from this movie. I see them drop the Sirius lamp, and I'm starting to get really freaked out. And then Carrie runs into the camera and starts chanting, Illuminati, Illuminati. So Carrie knew about this shit even back then. Well schooled in it. And I've just said that I've tried to find a video of that appearance on Oprah, and I can't find it anywhere on the internet. So I don't know. It's an intriguing little nugget.
Yeah, totally. Weird. Okay.
Let's watch. All right, you want to do this?
Totally.
Call you guys back in a few minutes.
All right. Adios.